Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Brick House Podcast, All-Star Weekend. I'm Bob Johnson.
I'm Matt Baker. And Bob, we already have an MVP of the All-Star game.
Oh?
Jimmer Fredette scored a record 35 points to be named MVP of the D-League All-Star game on Saturday.
Well, what is the prize for that? Like a $5 coupon to Baskin Robbins?
Yeah. Something? Yeah, I like
gift card.
I like when they're going to present him with the trophy or whatever, and he's thinking, does this mean I get to be moved up to the NBA, guys? And they're like, no.
You get to take a picture with Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart, a guy who almost beat Draymond Green in the three-point contest.
Well, he tied Draymond Green, and they rigged the event, and they continued out with the trophy presentation, even though Kevin Hart tied him. They just ignored that fact.
Actually,
we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I'm going to run through a few former NBA D-League All-Star MVPs for you.
Oh, please.
You ready?
Yeah.
Last year was Andre Emmett.
Oh, okay.
Andre Emmett, who used to play at Texas Tech, I believe, for Bob Knight.
I don't remember that name ever.
Yeah, he was early. He's old. He's 33, so he's an older D-League guy.
Okay.
The year before, Robert Covington of your Philadelphia 76ers. The year before that, Travis Leslie. Let's see if I can name these colleges. Is he Georgia? Yeah, he's Georgia. Gosh, I'm good. The year before that, Gerald Green.
Okay.
And then five more before that. So let's let's not bore the... So that's your look into the history of the D-League All-Star MVP.
So it's about 50-50 guys who go on to become actual NBA players.
Yeah, a few pops. Mensa Bonsu was the first ever D-League All-Star MVP, and he played in the NBA for a little bit. So there's a few of them have here. So yeah, you know, it's not a terrible prize to win, I guess.
Well, we're recording this podcast on Sunday morning, Valentine's Day. The Saturday night festivities are over, but it's before the actual All-Star game. However, the NBA All-Star games are usually pretty predictable.
Yes.
And this one especially, I think it's safe to say, is going to be centered almost exclusively around Kobe Bryant's retirement and giving him a All-Star farewell, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, he's going to have to mess up pretty badly to not win the MVP.
You think so?
Well, unless someone just goes crazy and lights it up. But usually they give MVPs out for things like this, you know.
Well, Kobe shoots about 30% this season, so if he's going to get...
True, he might mess it up on his own.
...25 points, he's going to need to shoot a lot.
Yeah, that is true.
But, you know, he's retiring. He's only a few months away from retirement now, and I'm really starting to wonder what's next for Kobe. On TNT, Ernie Johnson suggested there's a fifth seat open for him on the Inside the NBA set.
Yeah? Him and Shaq reunited?
Well, that's what I was going to say is, you know, if he's actually going to join the team, let's be honest. I mean, Shaq's going to be pushed out of there probably within a season.
Yeah.
Be fair to guess.
Yeah. For 50 cents on the dollar.
Yeah, Shaq and Barkley feuding would be nothing compared to Kobe and Shaq. The only thing he's really said that he wants to do post-NBA playing career is be some sort of storyteller / filmmaker.
Sure.
His first and only movie, Kobe Bryant's Muse, written, starring, and the only cast member of the documentary is Kobe himself.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't need anybody else.
I was trying to like think about what kind of filmmaker he's going to be, not only based on Kobe Bryant's Muse, but just based on what I know and surmise about Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's you know, obviously narcissistic and self-centered, so that's that doesn't really narrow it down when trying to think about which filmmaker to compare him to, you know.
Yeah, go on.
But I can see him being influenced by the likes of like a Jim Jarmusch or an Andy Warhol.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to take a lot of long shots. I can see Kobe like being so fascinated by whatever he's obsessed with that he could like set up a camera for like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly for like 81 straight hours. And call that his masterpiece. I heard a funny story about Kobe this week. You know, there's a lot of Kobe chatter into this All-Star game. This came from a former Lakers staff member who was talking to Kobe Bryant Him and his wife had two girls and were trying for their third child. And, you know, the guy was saying, you know, it would be nice if it were possible to have a boy. And he's confiding in Kobe about this, who also has two girls, by the way. And Kobe told him a little secret to having a boy.
Oh, yeah?
He says, next time you're trying to get your wife pregnant, leave your socks on.
Uh-huh.
That was the end of the advice.
Yeah. The classic leave. Yeah, and we've all heard that. I thought we were going to break news with, you know. Yeah, the classic leave your socks on.
The staff member did go on to have his third daughter.
Mamba.
I was thinking it's probably a good thing. Like, whoever would have been Kobe Bryant's son, had he had a son, really dodged a bullet by not being born.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine Kobe as a father?
Well,
to a boy, I mean.
Well, so guest of the show, Kevin and I were talking yesterday about how Steph Curry, when he was growing up, he was so small. He's still not that big, but he when he was 14, he was still really small, and his shot used to start from his hip.
Uh-huh.
And Dell didn't like that and basically made him redo it for 6 months, yelling at him, you have to redo your shot.
Wow.
And you have to do it this way. And obviously it worked out. But if Del Curry, who seems like a very mild-mannered...
Nice guy,
can get on his son for 6 months to fix his shot, you would assume that any son of Kobe's would... Kobe would be at his throat for 20 years, him to do every... Yeah.
Yeah, if there was a Kobe Jr., I would be, you know, shit in the bed right now, thinking that my dad's going to be retired at, like, you know, every day.
And all he has time for is to bother me.
Yeah, he got summer coming up. I could see Kobe Sr. just, like, waking his son up at 2 in the morning to go fishing, you know?
Man.
Just screaming at him.
That's so good.
I thought you wanted to be the best fisherman. You don't even have your boots on yet. It's 2 in the morning. What are you thinking?
Oh, that's good.
So there's been a lot of ceremonies and a lot of gifts given to Kobe so far this year on his retirement tour. Do you think tonight in the All-Star game that the players, even more than normal, are going to let Kobe just drive right past them?
Yeah, sure. They like you just said, even more than normal, they wouldn't have stopped him anyway.
Yeah.
If it was his second to last year, you know. Maybe towards the end, maybe he'll have his grand final three-pointer, final dunk or something.
Uh-huh. I thought it would be funny if, you know, since the players are going to not really play defense and just let them drive by anyways, if they all had, like, disposable cameras in their shorts. And as soon as, you know, Kobe's standing at the top of the key, thinks that there's going to be some defensive pressure on him, and instead he makes a move, puts the ball on the floor, and all five defenders on the floor just pull out cameras and start taking pictures of him.
That's good.
Michael Jordan gave Kobe a gift of his own. Did you hear about this?
The shoes, right?
Yeah, he gave him a purple and gold versions of the Air Jordan 3 and the Air Jordan 8, and a pair of every 30 pairs of Michael Jordan shoes ever made.
Because if there's one thing Kobe Bryant needs more of, it's shoes, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, an alternate set of shoes in black, also in Kobe's size 14, is being auctioned off on eBay for charity with an opening bid of $100,000.
Hmm.
And that ends Sunday at noon Eastern. That means it's already over. But yeah, I didn't think of that as... you know, the most Kobe-centric kind of gift, you know. But a nice way for Michael to advertise that his 30th pair of Jordans just came out.
Yeah.
They're $300.
Remember, this is Michael Jordan's the same guy who brought the guy who beat him out for a spot on the high school varsity basketball team to his
Hall
induction
of Fame speech.
So if Kobe's going to retire, someone who... there has been arguments made that he could be better than Jordan. Who know? I wouldn't say that's true, but there, if there's a way for Jordan to, you know, say, here are all my shoes, just remember who the greatest of all time is. Congratulations on your career. Yeah.
Michael Jordan has had the MJ crying meme in the news.
Yeah.
And when asked about it the other day, he actually took it pretty well. I was kind of surprised for Michael, saying, like, you know, he's glad that people are having fun with it on social media. He did throw in, though, that, of course, his lawyers are scouring the internet to make sure nobody is making a single penny off of his likeness.
Because
just like the steak sold at the grocery store in Illinois.
That's right.
He does not take using his likeness lightly.
Yeah.
Some other gifts that are being proposed for Kobe at the All-Star game. Steph Curry says he has a lot of assists for Kobe coming up in this game. To which Kobe says, "What the hell are you talking about? You're going to pass the ball in an All-Star game? Are you crazy?" That's an actual Kobe quote.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's good.
He's been given a lot of gifts this year. One of the weirder ones I read about was a portrait of Kobe holding a samurai sword standing on the Lakers half-court logo in a purple kimono.
Could you repeat that? That was a lot of...
depicting a samurai sword wielding Bryant standing on the Lakers half-court logo in a purple kimono.
Wow.
He's getting a lot of gifts this year. That was a weird one. Pau Gasol was asked if he had a gift idea for Kobe, and Pau being Pau, he says, you know, it's really hard to buy something, pick out something for a man such as Kobe. You know, he can really have whatever he wants. So he said maybe a fun week in Barcelona together is Pau's idea.
Sure, he has tons of stuff there. He can get away with it pretty cheaply. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah, something laid back, wine tasting.
He knows it's something Kobe will never take him up on, so he might as well just throw it out there.
Kobe just trademarked the phrase this past month. Probably a few different iterations of friends come and go, but banners hang forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, banners hung with friends, I guess, could be even, like, the best thing.
No.
Not for Kobe.
Don't overthink this, Bob.
One of the unique retirement gifts Kobe got is having an actual Black Mamba named after him.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. Kobe said his first day of retirement, what do you think he's going to do? His answer was, "I'll probably wake up and have some coffee and then go back to sleep."
Yeah, because we all know the best thing to do before you go to sleep is drink coffee.
This is going to be really embarrassing if Kobe Bryant plays like 5 minutes, has a big wave, and they don't mention him again the rest of the night. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, what is this?
There's a job that just opened up for Kobe, if he wants it, maybe next season.
Yeah, like our podcast last week couldn't come out. They couldn't have given us at least a day before our podcast last week became completely irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about coaches being fired and how George Karl, we were sure, was going to be the next NBA coach.
Yeah. Oh, surprise.
Eliminated.
Yeah. I texted you this. The Kings were all set to fire George Karl.
Right.
Then Vlade Divac was like, "Hey, let's have a quick 5-minute meeting." And then he had the 5-minute meeting with George Karl, and in 5 minutes decided he was going to keep George Karl. Like, what could have happened in this 5-minute meeting?
I assumed Karl brought him a bottle of whiskey, a carton of cigarettes.
Yeah.
And said what he said on Zach Lowe's podcast earlier in the week, which was, "I don't think DeMarcus is ever going to like his coach."
Yeah. That's it.
And Vlade was just like, you know, mind blown.
Well,
you don't say. You're only the 7th coach that he's had in 4 years.
Along those lines, I did see a quote from Ken Berger of CBS Sports, who wrote, "DeMarcus Cousins doesn't believe he's in the best situation with the Kings. Quote, I prefer to be in a perfect situation, but that'll never happen. The center described the perfect situation as one where everyone is happy before reiterating that it just won't happen. Quote, there's nothing in life that's perfect, the 25-year-old Cousins said. So that, yeah.
I just want to eat pizzas that don't make me fat.
It's an interesting quote because I don't know what he's trying to say. I don't.
Are the Golden State Warriors perfect this season? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, nothing is perfect. You also have the ability to make the best out of a situation. As opposed to like, oh, well, this isn't perfect. I'm just going to, you know, whatever.
Well, if you wanted a way to convince DeMarcus Cousins that his coaching situation could be worse, you could bring up the Derek Fisher incident.
Yeah.
Derek Fisher was fired on Super Bowl Sunday, probably 5 minutes after we finished recording the podcast.
They were waiting for us to hit stop on that thing.
Yeah. And it's not only that, he wasn't winning a lot of games. In fact, was fired after losing 5 games in a row for the Knicks. But also in the off season, and we've talked about it plenty, had the kerfuffle with Matt Barnes,
right,
and the romantic tryst with Matt Barnes' ex-wife. Apparently, according to Brian Windhorst, this might not have been the only wife or girlfriend of a teammate. Apparently, he was allegedly involved with Tim Hardaway Jr.'s girlfriend at some point last season as well. And Hardaway Jr. didn't get a lot of minutes and was ultimately traded to Atlanta, but was supposedly asked about the relationship Fisher had with his woman.
Wow.
It definitely opens the gate for Derek Fisher love triangle jokes.
Yeah.
He loves the triangle. And Phil Jackson should have seen that one coming.
Yeah. Poor guy gets hired his first coaching job to run an outdated system with a bunch of scrubs. I can't imagine why that didn't work.
You know, immediately we joke about Kobe being a potential candidate for Phil Jackson, but it's not really a joke because the only potential candidates that have really been mentioned are former Lakers.
Yeah, Luke Walton.
For Phil Jackson. Brian Shaw.
Brian Shaw.
Yeah, Shaw was downplaying the triangle in an interview just this past week, you know, saying that there's aspects of the triangle used in every NBA offense.
Sure.
And that he isn't, like, married to the triangle or he has to run it. In fact, he did different things depending on the player personnel in Denver. And I thought it was pretty funny that he's, you know, trying to show his ability to be the head coach of the New York Knicks by just saying, like, you know, the triangle isn't everything. I could do other stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, honestly,
we'll run the unicorn offense around Porzingis.
Yeah, sure. Just do that. Honestly, Phil should just keep Kurt Rambis on as the coach. If he wants to run the triangle, if Phil wants to run the team, if Phil wants to be the coach without having to be the coach, he should just keep Rambis, because Rambis could do whatever he wants.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and, you know, some of the problems and reasons Phil Jackson has said he won't coach again is because he just can't deal with the rigors of
the day-to-day, the travel. All that stuff, yeah.
But, you know, he seems so elevated and his...
That's because the chair he sits on is already 5 feet. Oh, sorry. Okay.
You know, it seems like he has such, like, mental superiority that he could just maybe go into the Knicks locker room once every 10 days or so and just, you know, wave his hands, do some Jedi mind tricks on the players.
Yeah. Well, I saw some crazy rumor of Kevin Love to the Celtics, Carmelo to the Cavs, and Mozgov to the Knicks, or some random, like...
Carmelo for Mozgov?
Some, like, random...
Wasn't Mozgov one of the 11 players that was traded for Carmelo originally?
Oh, you're right. Yeah. But it was shot down, obviously, as a rumor too. But
one of the segments we did last week was making fun of the rumor about Kevin Durant to the Warriors, and I got to put this in the Eating Crow section this week because
Eating Crow.
I said last week that, you know, something that never happened was the Bulls and their dominance never came out and had a rumor about trading one of their players or trying to get another player. But in the same podcast I heard with George Karl on Zach Lowe, Zach Lowe brought up a trade that almost happened, apparently, back in 95, 96, which was a proposed trade of Sean Kemp for Scottie Pippen.
Whoa.
And George Karl, you know, on the podcast said that, yeah, he was definitely a supporter of that trade.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons. But similar to, you know, why the Cavs would never trade LeBron or the Thunder would never trade Durant, the Bulls weren't trading Scottie fucking Pippen.
Yeah. That's a really weird trade. Why?
Yeah, would have made the Sonics defense even more unstoppable with Gary Payton.
I'm looking it up here, and it would have been Pippen and a first round pick for Sean Kemp, Ricky Pierce, and a first round pick. So a swap of first round picks.
Wow. You know, during All-Star weekend, there's a lot of funny quotes and a lot of players maybe have their guard down, having some fun with their time off. I have a friend who's a personal trainer, mm-hmm. Lalo, and he knows I'm a big Clippers fan and a big Chris Paul fan.
Right.
But Lalo, you know, being a real physically fit guy and it being his profession, has always told me that he suspects Chris Paul does not work out nearly as much as he should for being, you know, a superstar player in the NBA, and that he also suspects his diet is not what it should be. And it's hard to be pudgy as a professional athlete.
Yeah.
And I love Paul, and I'm pretty pudgy myself. It's probably why I relate to him so much. But he had a quote about his rookie year. This weekend at All-Star Weekend, he said his rookie year he ate McGriddles every morning, Chick-fil-A after practice, pizza at night, and quote, somehow I became rookie of the year.
Wow.
That is the superior talent that is Chris Paul.
Well, he was also, what, 20 at that point too, so.
Yeah, your metabolism is a little different than at 30.
Yeah.
I'm finding out as well.
Yeah. We all are, Bob.
Yeah, there is a lot of dumbass trade rumors. You already mentioned Carmelo and Kevin Love. James Harden, there was an article written about how the Rockets should trade him. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
I'd be surprised if they can find a taker for Dwight. But, yeah, just absolutely floored if they decided that, you know, trading all-NBA shooting guard James Harden is a good move.
You want to see the four trades that work, according to this article?
Okay. For Harden?
Oh, yeah. There's no... This article is nice enough to say there's no single obvious trade fit for Harden.
We're just pulling it out of our ass.
Yeah. Boston Celtics could offer All-Star Isaiah Thomas cap relief with David Lee's expiring contract and perhaps one of the picks they're due from the Nets.
Who? Isaiah Thomas and David Lee?
And some draft picks.
What?
Sure.
You know what we need? To replace our 6'5" all-star shooting guard with a 5'6".
Yeah. Just swap those numbers. Maybe the Lakers would be interested in a D'Angelo Russell for James Harden trade.
I'm sure the Lakers would be.
Yeah. The Denver Nuggets could build a package around Gallinari, Gary Harris, and draft picks. And likewise, the Magic could offer Oladipo, Aaron Gordon, and picks.
I could build a package around some dirty socks and, you know, DVD collection. Yeah. But it doesn't mean the Rockets are going to go for it.
I like the idea of, well, the trade deadline's coming up. Do we have any trade articles in the mix?
No.
Hey, Bill, go whip up a James Harden trade article real quick.
What about KD to the Warriors? Oh, we already did that last week. Yeah. Damn it.
But I only know four teams and eight players. That's good enough. Just add and draft picks on each one of those, and you're good.
Except the Knicks and Nets. They don't have draft picks ever again.
Yeah. I'm just counting the minutes, Bob, till I get that sweet, sweet alert on my phone of Markieff Morris has been traded.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's on my list of people most likely to be traded in the next week. But, you know, I saw another trade that actually almost happened in 2013. And this is one of these quotes that came up over All-Star Weekend that I just had to tell Matt Baker about.
Ooh.
In 2013, Kyle Lowry was going to be traded to the Knicks for Iman Shumpert, Meta World Peace, and a draft pick.
Oh, wow.
You have any guess as to why this trade didn't go down?
From the Raptors?
Raptors and Knicks, yeah. Iman Shumpert, Ron Artest, or Meta World Peace, and a draft pick.
No, why?
I'll tell you why.
Please do.
James Dolan is why. And James Dolan had recently been burned by GM Masai Ujiri in the trade for Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
Essentially, they traded their entire present team and future team for the next 5 years to get Carmelo Anthony when he was going to be a free agent like 3 months later.
Uh-huh.
And so Dolan was so nervous that Masai was getting the best of him again that he nixed the trade.
I'll tell you what, Dolan, you would have got the best of him on that one.
Yeah, now they just spend all these times writing articles about how the Knicks could possibly trade for a point guard don't have any assets.
Lowry would have been brilliant for that team.
Yeah, and Ujiri was actually trying to rebuild. This was just 2 weeks after he traded away Rudy Gay.
Oh, yeah.
And, then the Lowry deal fell through. They made the playoffs, and then they made the playoffs the next 2 years after that. And here they are, second seed in the East.
Jeez. The best trade that never happened for that team.
Some more NBA history. It's actually being honored this morning at an NBA Legends brunch.
Wow.
The great Oscar Robertson basically invented free agency, Matt. I don't know if you knew this.
Tell me this, Bob.
40 years ago, former Milwaukee Bucks great Oscar Robertson he filed a class action lawsuit against the league to establish a system of free agency, allowing players to move from team to team rather than being tied to a team for an entire career.
Uh-huh.
So this lawsuit essentially paved the way for what became unrestricted free agency in the league.
That came about like 13 years later or so.
Right, right.
So this would have been restricted free agency.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was starting the present players' union and starting to give players rights.
Right.
Where previously they had none playing in a league dominated by the owners. But yeah, this morning he was honored by Magic Johnson and Taco Bell skills champion Karl Anthony Towns.
Okay.
I was presented with the award at the Legends Brunch.
The Golden Chalupa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quesalupa?
Yeah, whatever that thing is now. It's so cheesy, according to the commercials. You know who the first ever unrestricted free agent was to sign with the team?
No.
Tom Chambers signing with the Phoenix Suns.
Really?
Yeah, he was on the Supersonics, who were a team, apparently. There was a team in Seattle called the Supersonics.
Never heard of them.
Okay, not many people have.
Maybe they had Scottie Pippen once upon a time.
Yeah, but they the Suns at 12:01 on the first day of free agency.
Whoa.
Wanted Chambers and signed him. So Oscar Robertson paid the way.
I feel like there's
a
footnote to that. They wanted a Kentucky player, but only Tom Chambers was available.
Yeah. Yeah.
They couldn't get Tom Chambers, shitty little brother on the phone.
Yeah. No, they wanted to, but Tom accidentally took the phone and they're like, is this Bill Chambers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just make the check out to TOM. So this year, if you thought Hack a Shack was bad last year, according to data, it is happening 5.5 times more often this season.
Whoa.
Than last season. So, Matt, if you're going to put on your NBA commissioner hat, how would you suggest fixing the Hack-a-Shack problem in the NBA?
Gosh, I don't know. All those weird ones where they jump over the back and they foul out of bounds, I think it needs to happen. If you're going to foul them, it needs to happen in the confines of the action.
Mm-hmm.
Like while the clock is going, while the game is taking place. Like, I don't care if you want to run up during the play and foul the guy with the ball while it's happening. I don't think you should be able to foul away from the ball. You should intentionally foul it. If you're going to intentionally, unintentionally foul, it has to be the guy with the ball.
Yeah.
You can't do, I don't like any of the other shenanigans.
There was a brilliant play the other night. I think it was Clippers Celtics that went into overtime the night before Wednesday night. And the Celtics were intentionally fouling DeAndre. And it was like 2 minutes, 15 seconds left. And Chris Paul's bringing the ball up the court. DeAndre had inbounded it, so he's jogging behind him. And he's taking his time, too, because he knows he's probably going to be intentionally fouled.
Right.
I think it was Kelly Olynyk starts charging full speed at DeAndre Jordan. And Chris Paul does a quick crossover and gets in his way and just gets run over by Olynyk and ends up getting the free throws.
That's
himself.
Great.
Yeah, it was a pretty heady move.
That is great.
Reminded me of, Jason Kidd like running into the coach standing on the court type of deal.
Basically, Nostradamus.
I thought that for our basically Nostradamus section, we can make a few predictions now that we're at the All-Star break and there's only about 30 games left in the season. If you had to pick a surprise team from each conference that could make it, let's say, as far as the conference finals,
mm-hmm.
who would you say? Who would be a surprise team coming out of the East?
I guess Chicago, they're the 7th seed. I mean, I think they're better than a 7th seed. They've had injuries, and unfortunately they have more injuries now. So mm-hmm. if they kind of hang around and keep in the stay in the playoffs...
Is there still like only a small gap between 7th and 3rd in the East, or is it starting to widen?
It's 5 games right now.
5, okay.
But still, I think if you put Chicago in the 7 or 6 seed, they could take out the Raptors or the Celtics if they're all healthy.
That's true. Yeah, that'd be a good round.
Even Indiana, some of the bottom 3 teams are Indiana, Chicago, and Charlotte. And Indiana could rise up and beat Boston, the 3 seed.
Sure.
Potentially.
So if you had to pick a team that is definitely making a trade this week, who do you think is the most likely candidate?
Suns are definitely trading Markieff Morris.
Yeah. That was my next question.
I will say that. I know I'm getting old, or it's getting old coming out of my mouth, but that's happening.
I heard a rumor that the Suns have been sniffing around Shabazz Muhammad.
Yeah.
And I thought it would just be pretty funny for them to send Markieff to essentially the NBA Siberia, Minnesota, even though the team is getting much better. And also, you know, the evil voice inside Zach LaVine's head, Kevin Garnett, would be there. And what better veteran man. To whip Markieff into shape, wouldn't you say?
I didn't even think about that. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I can't see Markieff really pop it off with Kevin Garnett just like punching his lights out.
Headbutting him
time.
Every 5 seconds. Yeah, I think they'll make a trade. Brooklyn might find someone to take Thad Young or Brooke Lopez if they are getting serious about trading. They could. Those are
Joe Johnson wants out real bad.
Yeah,
too.
But everyone knows he's going to want out, so he might just get cut and someone else will sign him. No one's going to trade for him.
Yeah.
Unless there's a lot of money changing hands in that deal. But yeah, those would be the two, I would say. Indiana, maybe a playoff team could make a move like Indiana to try and get something, or Chicago to try and get something because Butler's out and Noah's out.
I know Boston's been acquiring so many assets, and
right.
they're not going to do anything hasty, but they're definitely chomping at the bit to... Right. to flip some of these million players they have for
a
superstar.
They're about to trade 6 picks for Justice Winslow.
Right. Yeah, the player most likely to be traded, I had Markieff at the top.
Yeah.
Ex-son Channing Frye, I've been hearing a lot about. I think he could really help a contender.
Yeah.
And Ryan Anderson seems like he's inevitably going to be traded too.
Right.
But we shall see. You know, when I was watching the Taco Bell skills contest yesterday, Matt, I thought Draymond was probably the favorite in the bigs, just because he has so many skills. And I saw he was matched up against Karl-Anthony Towns, and when Towns pulled the upset and beat him, I thought like, oh man, Towns could be up against another guy from Kentucky if he plays against Cousins. And then I was like, wait a minute. Towns, 3 out of 4 of the bigs in the competition were from Kentucky.
With Anthony Davis.
And it got me thinking of some questions for Matt for a college version of the Brick House Game Show. Because it's All-Star Weekend.
Ooh, I love it.
And I know Matt just knows college ball better than anyone I know. He's going to do pretty well in this, but let's see if you can do it in order. Okay, so when I saw how many Kentucky players were in the skills competition, I got to thinking, like, how many players are actually in the NBA from these schools?
Okay.
So I looked up the top 7 schools that produce NBA players, and in fact, from 7 schools, they have 25% of NBA players.
Whoa.
Okay. So I have the list of the 7 schools that have the most current NBA players, and I was wondering if Matt Baker can name them in order.
In order.
I bet you know the top 2 right off the top of your head.
Kentucky.
Number 1. with 21 players, or 4.7% of the league.
North Carolina.
North Carolina is number 4.
Ooh.
With 16 players. 3.6%.
Duke.
Duke is number 2.
Duke is number 2.
19 players.
UCLA.
Currently. UCLA is 5.
Ooh.
Or yes, 5 with Ooh. 14 players.
Okay.
So you got your you got 4 out of the top 5, but not number 3.
Okay, number 3.
Just think about who's always like a top seed in the NCAA comp, championship March Madness bracket.
Yeah. Michigan State?
Michigan no. State is not one of the top 7.
They're not there.
They had the last year's Rookie of the Year is from this school.
Kansas.
Kansas.
Why couldn't I have got that?
18 players from Kansas, 4% mm-hmm. of the league. And there's just the number 6 and 7 schools. I'm not sure. Well, one of them you should be pretty familiar with.
Arizona.
Yeah. 13 players from Arizona.
Right.
And the last one.
Syracuse or Louisville or...
Syracuse has 8 players. Yeah. That puts them in the top 10, but not number 7.
What's number 7?
Number 7 is the alma mater of Mike Miller, Joakim Noah.
Oh, Florida. Gotcha.
Yeah, I think just 3 or 4 players just from the championship team are in the league. Horford, Noah. Right. So 7 schools, 111 NBA players.
That's crazy.
Nuts. Oh, yeah. So this reminded me that about hearing, I don't forget where I heard it before, but apparently it's one of the NBA's rules among teammates that if your college is playing against the college of another player on the team, you are required to have a minimum $100 bet on it.
Yeah?
That's the rule in the NBA. And it got me like looking at the Suns roster because I figured, like, who's another player from the SEC that's going to be playing Kentucky a lot? And I just saw that Jordan McRae from Tennessee signed a 10-day contract with the Suns.
The Orange Mamba.
Yeah, if Kentucky plays Tennessee twice during that 10-day contract, McRae might just break even, you know, with as many Kentucky players as he'd have to pay out on the team. Oh, there was a funny thing I saw after the Rising Stars competition.
Yeah.
Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, and a third player were up being interviewed. Maybe it was Wiggins, I think.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the media members asked if it was fun for Clarkson and D'Angelo to feel like they were unleashed without their minutes controlled by Byron Scott, and, you know, what that was like and how they were doing. And Clarkson said, you know, we were just, like, you know, having fun out there. I wouldn't really call it unleashed as much as just, like, playing our game, you know. And they extended the question over to Russell. And if you listen very carefully, you can hear Jordan Clarkson mutter to Russell, "Don't say anything crazy."
That's good.
He was just perfectly set up to criticize Byron Scott. Yo mama is so fat. The diss of the week this week has got to come from Draymond Green, who said to Steph, "At least you lost to Clay and not almost lost to Kevin Hart."
That's good.
Also, that all future disses of the week, I'll be checking at official NBA refs on Twitter.
Yeah.
Adam Silver just made an official NBA refs Twitter feed, so, you know, everybody can direct their vitriol in that direction.
Brilliant.
Thought it was pretty funny. One more trivia question for you here, Matt. Isaiah Thomas over All-Star Weekend has said a player that he will not name has asked him about Boston, as in that player is interested in joining the Celtics.
Yeah, Kevin Love.
Kevin Love is your guess. My guess is Al Horford.
Oh, wow.
But we shall see. Definitely Danny Ainge is sniffing around so many players, it's hard to guess which one will actually end up potentially traded to the team.
Right.
On the next episode of Brick House.
On the next episode, I think we might find out what happened to J.R. Smith over the All-Star break.
What happened?
Well, he was suspiciously absent from the three-point contest and the dunk contest festivities last night.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to be in the three-point contest, right?
Well, he wanted to be. He was asking to be, and he was not invited.
Oh.
But I was a little suspicious about the prop that Aaron Gordon continued to use in his dunk contest.
The mascot.
Because as far as I'm aware, there's only one person alive who knows how to ride a hoverboard.
Yeah.
And that man is J.R. Smith.
Ooh, I like that, Bob.
So that's my suspicion, is that J.R. Smith was actually dressed in the Magic mascot costume. Which, by the way, are we sure what that mascot is supposed to be?
Nope, not at all.
I think the closest comparison I could think was that it's like an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
A la Bing Bong from Inside Out.
Right, yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
Which made me even more suspicious that has got to be J.R. Smith inside of that costume.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
He definitely wants to be Aaron Gordon's imaginary friend.
Yeah.
The truth will come out, and we'll tell you all about it on the next episode of Brick House.